Merkel Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary is Tack Theratrix.
I am Spartacus.
Keith Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault?
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you're watching us on Rockfin or Rumble, we appreciate it. Or listening wherever podcasts are served. Hey, we've got a brand new website. Check it out, macroaggressions.io. The link is in the description. Have you rated the show? Because I certainly could use the help with the algorithms. Give me 5 stars if you think I've earned it. Write a little review. It helps with all that good stuff. And hey, thanks to the sponsors that make this show happen. Without them, we'd be in real trouble. EMP Shield is out there building the best shielding device that'll protect your home, your car, your boat, motorhome, generator from an EMP strike, and lightning strikes, from solar flares, all that good stuff. It's available. EMP Shield is selling it. It's many times more efficient than a single-use military design. It can withstand up to 40 EMP strikes. It's worth checking out. If you think it might be something you're interested in, go to empshield.com and read up about it. You find something you like. The discount code is macro. Also, if you bundle a couple units together, it'll bring that dollar per unit price down pretty substantially. There's installation videos on their website. You can do it yourself. Installs like a type 2 surge protector with just 4 wires, or you can have an electrician come in, knock it out in probably 20 minutes or so. It's up to you, but take a look, see what you think. EMPshield.com is the place to go. Promo code is macro. Also, thanks to the folks at Legal Shield. Let's keep this theme going of shielding. Why not? They've been in business for 50 years in the United States and Canada. They can get you access to an attorney for a very reasonable price. It's worth having. You always have to have some representation on your side these days, just in case. Legal Shield does that. $30 a month, dollar a day. My goodness, you could do a lot of things with that. You could have them draft your last will and testament. You could have them put together your financial power of attorney, your medical directive, things like that. You know, you need these documents if you're going to be an adult, especially if you have kids. The last thing you want to do is get in some situation where you're no longer there and the state gets involved in your affairs. I can't think of anything worse than that. So set this stuff up now. Knock it out in the first month that you're a member. You know, you're at $30 a month. I mean, it's going to cost you a couple $1,000s to knock all these paperwork documents out if you go to a traditional attorney. But you got to get it done, but you don't necessarily have to do it the way they tell you to do it. So take a look. Go to the website that is made specifically for this show, for Legal Shield. It's called don'tgetpushedaround.com. Just go there. Just read and see what you think. It's not just Legal Shield. They have ID Shield. They have a small business plan. If you run a business that's, you know, big enough business that you need legal help, but not so big that you've got your own law division in there. So something to consider. If you carry a gun, if you're somebody that needs documentation for that, they have these little a la carte items that you can add on to your membership. So take a look, go over and see what you think. It's a really interesting project that they've been doing for 50 years. They have an A+ rating with the Better Business Bureau. I mean, they're legit. They'll get you an attorney that has on average 22 years of experience. So you're not going to get some dumb fresh out of law school who doesn't know anything. You'll get people that actually can help you out. Don'tgetpushedaround.com is the place to go for that. Well, I've been watching this case since it's been in trial. Not like I'm camping out at the courthouse, but have you heard about Vault 7? Because it's really important that we talk about this. And the reason is that, you see, the CIA had somebody within their ranks decide that they were going to leak a bunch of documents about what the CIA is actually up to. And you can do that. And I appreciate people that do that. But let's not pretend like you're just going to slip out the back door, you know, or go out on your lunch break and never come back, and that the CIA isn't going to like wind up at your doorstep asking you some questions. And of course, that's what happened. A Manhattan federal court jury just convicted Joshua Schulte. Well, they didn't just convict him. They convicted him like a year ago for leaking the Vault 7 sensitive CIA documents. They were at first looking for life in prison. They didn't really take that too seriously. Once it went to trial, they basically started, he was looking at 80 years in prison. And he was found guilty, and recently they just sentenced him to 40 years. So he is going away until 2064 for releasing what the CIA is actually doing. Now, he wasn't making it up. He didn't sit at his computer and manipulate their files to paint the CIA in a bad light. He just exposed what they're actually doing. You know, the irony, of course, you know, that the guy exposing the crimes, be it Julian Assange or Joshua Schulte or Reality Winner or, you know, you name it, they all wind up in prison. But the CIA continues to trudge on, even after, you remember, JFK said that he wanted the CIA broken into 1,000 pieces and scattered to the wind. Yeah, he was right. He was right. And I think that what they've done here is meant to send a message. If you leak the information that we have about what we're doing, we'll bury you for it. I mean, 40 years is horrible. I'll be honest, though, I'm a little surprised the guy's alive. This is the type of person that normally would have their car randomly accelerate to 110 miles an hour and then crash into a tree and explode, or start his car and the thing blow up, or get on an airplane and the airplane have engine troubles. You know, this is the type of situation where usually these guys don't make it. So I'm a little surprised that the guy is even alive to get a 40-year sentence, but he is. And so, you know, so I guess we're grateful for that. And look, they sentenced him to 40 years for bullshit, for exposing the crimes of the CIA, but now they're out. They're out in the public, right? They're out in the general public. The least I can do is make sure to publicize what he leaked, because it was clearly information that they did not want the public to know about, as evidenced by the fact that they put him in prison for 4 decades. He was found guilty on 8 espionage charges. He was found guilty on 1 obstruction charge. Looking at 80, gave him 40. Sounds like they split the difference. Man, talking about decades of a person's life. They also charged him with child pornography. Now, I am never going to be on the side of defending people who are trafficking in child pornography, but I am going to have to ask the question of whether or not the CIA planted child pornography on his hard drives. And the reason why I would say something like that is because that's what the CIA does. So it's not like they wouldn't have child pornography, because they do. It's not like they wouldn't know how to plant it on a computer, because they do. And it's not like they would have some moral hangup where they would say, oh, that would be cruel to do that, because they don't. So I will say this. I am not sure whether or not the child pornography charges assigned to him are legit. My instincts tell me that they're not. If they are, he's in prison for 40 years for the CIA stuff, so it doesn't matter. But my guess is that when you're the CIA and you stack charges so that a guy's looking at life in prison, and then you say, well, okay, fine, maybe it's going to be more like 80 years. You know, the child porn charges, which are separate from this, by the way, he's got a separate trial that's going to happen on that. I guess they didn't want to throw the bullshit charges in with the legitimate charges, I guess. I don't know, but I'm not a lawyer, and I don't know how they decided to prosecute this case, but there's a separate one. Now, if you go to prison for 40 years for leaking CIA documents, you're a fucking hero, okay? In prison, you know, my assumption, not that these guys are, not that the typical prison population of, say, Pelican Bay or Chino or someplace is going to have a long history of interacting with the CIA, but they will appreciate you giving the middle finger to authority, of course. So on some counts, you know, in some places, that is, if you are even allowed to interact with people, because they have a tendency, when you're looking at this much time, you are in a supermax facility. I mean, you are going someplace where you probably won't have much interaction with anybody. But in the event that you were to interact with other people and your charge was, I gave up the CIA spying program, that's a good charge to have in prison. I tell you what a bad charge to have in prison is: child pornography on your computer. That's not good. Now, if I know that and I've never served time in prison, then I'm pretty sure the CIA understands this, because this is what they do for a living. So it's one thing to, you know, put him in prison for 4 decades, which they've clearly done. But if there's one thing I've learned over the years about how the CIA operates, is they like to send a message. And they do not have a problem doing it in a variety of ways. One of them would be to most definitely ruin your reputation. I mean, in my mind, this guy's a hero for leaking this. So he doesn't have a bad reputation in my mind. But if he legitimately did have child pornography on his computer, that would be another story. I would not be down with that. But this is how it works, because they don't even have to prove it, really. I mean, my guess is that they will look at his computer hard drives and they'll find it on there. I don't doubt that that will happen. I'm almost certain that someone will say, well, yeah, we did a forensic audit of his hard drive and, you know, it's buried under layer of encryption. We found it. But that to me would mean zero, because you found it right where the CIA put it. That's all it says to me. So, but again, you know, I could be wrong on this. I don't know the guy, and I would never, you know, I don't know the guy, but I know how the CIA operates. So I'm not willing to just, my benefit of the doubt rests with this guy being innocent of the child porn charges until it's proven otherwise, and just them finding this stuff on his computer is not proof enough for me, given how you can do that. So, and of course, that's a tough one to talk your way out of, right? You know, because the average person will say, oh, sure, the CIA planted it. Well, fuck, when you leak 8,761 documents that they want hidden, yeah, they will put it on your computer. Like I said, you're lucky that you're still alive. So what did he expose that they wanted to stay hidden away? Well, mostly it's how they spy on us through the use of technology, which is, which is something that we understand as a concept. We know our technology is spying on us. We know that we have problems with the security of it. We know that we just know intuitively that this technology is a double-edged sword, right? I mean, it's amazing that you can communicate with people. I can put podcasts out, or you can watch this video, or you can listen to it, or wherever. You know, technology is great, but you know, you can put it in, you know, in the wrong hands, it can, it's that same gun analogy. There's nothing inherently wrong about a gun. You can use it to feed yourself if you shoot the right things and cook yourself dinner, but you could also use it to go on a murderous rampage as well. So it's operator specific. And so when it comes to this technology, I don't think any of us are actually really surprised or shocked that the CIA has a control over it. But I don't think that people realize the depths to where the CIA's technology with regard to hacking your consumer electronics has gone. I mean, if you were to assume and imagine the worst case scenario, you wouldn't be anywhere near where they are. That's the truth of this. Okay, so let's talk about this a little bit. I'm just going to list off some of the targets, just some of the items, the random electronic items that you have in your pocket or at your house or at your desk, at your office or wherever, that the CIA made sure to target. Let's start right off the bat. iPhones. And by the way, I'm going to go through all of the different codename spying programs that they had and go into a little bit more detail in some of these. So just know that when I mention iPhones, I'm about to do a little bit more examination into that. But iPhones, notepads, meaning digital notepads, not paper notepads, smart TVs, Mac devices, Linux devices, video players, security cameras, webcams, webcam microphones, Android phones, Windows operating systems, and even air-gapped PCs. Do you know what an air-gapped PC is? An air-gapped PC is a PC that is not connected to the internet. It is gapped, meaning there's a gap between it and the plugs. And the CIA figured out how to get around that. And you're like, well, I got a computer. It's not plugged into the internet. They're like, we don't care. So this was their list of targets. This information was published by WikiLeaks on March 7th, 2017. So we are coming up on 7 years for this. And, and you know, WikiLeaks has a perfect batting average. They've never had to retract a story. They're not retracting this one either because they got it right. They got the information from someone on the inside. They got the information from someone on the inside that's going to prison for the next 40 years. Kind of hard to deny that this is accurate when you've put the guy that leaked it in prison for that long. Because if he leaked a bunch of nonsense, it'd be a different story. And of course, it's not. So what did he give to WikiLeaks? Well, he gave 8,761 documents to them. And these were document and 943 different attachments. And what this was, this showed how the CIA developed tools to hack their targets and to spy on them. So it gave up the game as to what the CIA is looking for in terms of a target, how they go about doing it, and what tools they have at their disposal. So, I mean, if you're going to leak something from the CIA, short of the Kennedy files, this is a pretty good one. It talked about Trojan horses. It talked about viruses that they've created. It talked about malware that they have built. It talked about the remote controlling of automobiles. Hello, Michael Hastings. And these documents, these 8,761 documents, all come from an era between 2013 and 2016. Okay. So we've got like a 4-year window there. And, or however you want to look at it, you want to look at it as the last Obama term. It's that. All right. So this is during that time frame. What was leaked was several hundred million lines of computer code. The entire hacking capacity of the CIA was leaked to the public through a combination of government contractors that had used to work for the government and hackers working together. So you had a group of hackers that wanted to get access to this information, and you had a bunch of former or maybe even current government contractors that were mortified at what they were seeing and weren't on board with it, and they wanted to leak the information. So between the two, this is how this trove of documents was compiled by WikiLeaks. What these people did, what these government contractors did that leaked this, was totally against the law, completely against their contracts, and definitely violated their security clearance. Let's talk about year zero, because this is where it starts. This is, it introduces the scope and the direction of the CIA's global covert hacking program, its arsenal of malware, and dozens of what they call zero-day weaponized exploits against a wide range of products. So it just comes right out of the gate shooting, right? We're going to talk to you about how they hack. We're going to talk about the malware that they create in their laboratories and then infect other systems with, and then use that to give them information. It talks about the Trojan horse programs that they also malware that they installed that allowed them to see behind see onto the hard drives, to remotely access people's cameras, to basically overtake their computers, and to keep all of this quiet from the computer and, of course, from the user itself. So it was very elaborate. They had even cases where the malware would install itself, dig around, do what it needed to do, and then on its way out, uninstall itself so that it didn't even look like it was there. It's very elaborate. You might expect that, of course. It's the CIA. I mean, I say what you want about them, but they're pretty damn good at their jobs, okay? And if you've got hackers, now, and imagine this also. I mean, you've got a group of hackers that would probably be considered pro-CIA, pro-America, however you want to justify that to yourself, but somebody that is great at hacking and thinks that they're doing well for their country and the company that they work for, the CIA. So there's that segment of the hackers that are building this stuff for the CIA. But let's not forget about the other segment of hackers that they certainly don't talk about. And those are the ones that are working for the CIA, most definitely against their will. And that is because they have been entrapped in some sort of operation in which they are given some choices. The choices may be learn to braid hair in Pelican Bay and hang off of some brother's belt loop and get traded like commodities in there, or use your amazing hacking skills that will most definitely get you killed in prison or turned out or whatever, and instead come to work for us in Langley, stay out of prison, hack for us, we might even pay you. So they have ways, and their hackers are real good, right? So you better be certain, if you're going to steal information from the CIA, that you're getting away with it, or you better have terminal cancer. You know what I mean? You better be, because it's a suicide mission, man. Just know that going in. Thoughts and prayers to Joshua Schulte, who did this, provided that he's not actually guilty of child porn. That's my little asterisk for the whole episode. Let's just make sure that gets said. But man, you got to know this is a one-way trip. So, and what were they using these weaponized exploits against? Well, like I said, iPhones, Android, Windows, Samsung TVs, etc. Turn the mic. You know how that, you know, they talk about like, oh, your smart TV is watching you. That is correct. And listening to you as well. It's turned on the microphones, you know, like you've got microphones all in those TVs. You've got microphones in some of your remote controls. You know, you can talk to your remote control and tell it what to, you know, what you want it to record. So you make the assumption that the microphone is turned off when you're not using it or when you're not pushing the microphone button. But that's your assumption. Those things can easily be turned on remotely, most definitely. And they are. And they have been, and they proved it in here. So one of the things that they talked about is that the CIA has created its own, what they called its own NSA, which is great, right? But with less accountability. Wonderful. What could possibly go wrong with that, right? So it's not just enough for, you know, this, all these agencies sort of bicker with one another, and they're very defensive, and they're big alpha dogs where they, you know, CIA doesn't want the NSA getting in on their business and stuff. And yeah, sure, they work together on some things, but it's adversarial in other cases too. They don't trust the other administration to give them the information that they need. So sometimes the CIA just says, well, listen, we could send all this stuff to Bluffdale, Utah, and into the big NSA storage facility, but we don't want you knowing what we're doing. Yeah, you're American. Yeah, you're an intelligence agency, but you're not the CIA. So they keep this they keep it private. And in order to not store all this stuff on the servers in Utah, they basically built their own stuff. And that's what they use. So when they discuss how the CIA creates its own NSA, one of the things that they're talking about is the Center for Cyber Intelligence. Okay. It's a group. So the org chart for the CIA goes like this. CIA director at the top. Beneath him is the Directorate of Digital Innovation. Beneath the Directorate of Digital Innovation is the Center for Cyber Intelligence, which is what I was just talking about, their own NSA. And then under the Center for Cyber Intelligence is what would best be described as the CIA's hacking network. Okay. And it's not just one group. They're branched off. So you have CIA mobile devices branch, you have CIA embedded devices branch, you have CIA network devices branch, and you have CIA automated implant branch. Sleep well, everybody. I mean, you know they're hacking your phone, but in case you didn't know, just understand that there is a CIA mobile devices division. Okay. And that's all they do, is focus on hacking your phones. Remotely hacked smartphones, geolocators, cameras, microphones, audio, phone calls, and all text communications. Basically everything you do on your cell phone. The CIA's mobile devices branch is keeping track of it all. Be very careful. Okay. I get it. I've got a cell phone too. My CIA agent is listening to this right now, and he's having an existential crisis because he's debating, do they order the drone strike on me midway through the stream, or do they make it less obvious and do it later? I don't know. We'll see. CIA embedded devices branch, they came up with something called Weeping Angel. And this is the thing that turns the microphones on your smart TV. And these fuckers with their code names, we're going to get to them. But you know what I mean? You see it and you go, Weeping Angel? Really? Really? You assholes. You're just the worst. CIA Network Devices Branch. This is internet infrastructure. This is hubs, routers, things like that, that they get their hands on. So it's more of a, you know, where the data reaches like a distribution point. They own the distribution point. They own those hubs. They own those routers. I mean, this isn't like breaking news or anything that they were hacking routers. They had been doing this for a long, long time. So some of this information is kind of known. You know, I mean, you've heard of it. I mean, you know, if you know that they're turning on, I mean, if you've ever heard Alex Jones talk about turning on your smart TV and they're watching you while you're sitting there in your underwear eating Cheetos. Yes. And have been for a while, because this information is 10 years old. So God knows what they're doing now. From the CIA automated implant branch, they have a program called Medusa, which is automated infestation malware. I mean, these guys, I hate these people. They're just the worst, right? They're the worst. So look, I think it goes without saying that big tech has a big problem. Everything that they're doing has backdoors in it. All of it. I mean, I heard stories of them, like the CIA, like repackaging routers that were coming out of like Cisco systems and things like that. They were intercepting the routers from the manufacturer, as it's going to the place, they intercept it in route, put their devices inside it, repackage it up, and continue it shipping on its way. Like, that to me is, I mean, you almost have to fucking applaud their level of criminality here. I mean, it's like, it's impressive. But again, the CIA is run by criminals. So this is, it's an organized crime. It shouldn't really be all that, I mean, I shouldn't be so surprised. But this CIA malware has been loaded onto the products sold by Apple, by Microsoft, by Google, by Samsung, by Nokia, by BlackBerry, and by Siemens out of Germany. So it's everywhere. You think you're going to get yourself, you think, well, nobody, you know, I've got my Microsoft, I've got my Microsoft Windows computer. Good luck. You might as well be, on a wide open unsecured network at the airport while you're at it. You might as well have the Chinese hacking service next door as your next door neighbors. The CIA on one side and the Chinese on the other. I mean, we are lulled into a false sense of security with these devices, like that there's some sort of protection. Yeah, I can't hack into your device because I'm a dummy, but they can. And I don't even think it's much of a challenge for them. All of the antivirus programs were hacked. All of them. If you've loaded antivirus software onto your computer, you have loaded the CIA onto your computer. That came out in this discovery. They're like, all of them? Like, all of them. Yeah, all of them. Routers, all of them. All the routers are infected. I mean, they just went through and they were looking at this just going, you mean everything? And they're like, yeah, everything. So, but wait, there's more, because what the CIA would do is they would take these devices, and they had sort of arrangements with the manufacturers. They would tell the manufacturers, give us this new iPhone that you're putting out, or give us this new laptop that you're putting out. And what we'll do is we'll run it through our guys and we'll see if they can find any easily exploitable hacks in it. And then we'll let you know what they found. Just kind of double check your security guys' work. So obviously you guys at Apple are doing a really good job of putting this high grade security software on there to make sure that your devices are protected. But give the CIA, let us at the CIA take a crack at it and see what we find, because we're pretty good at this too. If we find some flaws in this, we'll let you know about it. Here's the thing. They never let them know about it. They took the devices, they found the flaws, and then they gave back and they go, looks good to us. And they didn't tell the manufacturers anything. And then they exploited those flaws until the manufacturers eventually figured it out and started fixing them in later models or later software upgrades or updates and things like that. But while there was a flaw there, rather than tell the manufacturer, hey, we found this flaw, you might want to close this little loophole right here so that nobody else can get through it. Instead of doing that, they just didn't tell them anything because they're awful. And that's what they do. So moving on, I told you I would get into code names. Well, I mean, they love code names as they're spying on us and trampling our rights and all of this stuff. Hey, congratulations. If you're the guy that came up with these code words, gross. You work for the Empire. Congratulations. You're an awful person. Let's start with the code name Dark Matter. Well, Dark Matter was what they used to hack iPhones and Macs. They were very good at this. I know that Apple people, I have an iPhone myself, but I don't like Apple's operating systems for computers. It's my preference. I know Apple people are very particular about their software. Apple's very particular about it. It's more of like a closed system. And that had always been sold to the general public as being safer. That somehow, because we don't let every Tom, Dick, and Chinese company out there build software for our operating system, it's more dependable. It's more reliable, and of course, it's safer. That is absolutely not true. None of that matters. Codename Dark Matter was in charge of exploiting all of the flaws that they found in iPhones and Macs, and there were plenty of them. And of course, they didn't tell. Nobody went and told Tim Cook about this over at Apple. Must have slipped their minds, right? Oh, we meant to tell you about that security hack where, you know, we could take control of the iPhones and turn its camera on and turn its microphone on and record everything while you're on the toilet playing Wordle. We're recording, you know what I mean? All that stuff. Codename Marble. This is malware for antivirus companies. They're very specific in there, you know. And I'm curious, I am a little bit curious about the code naming. Do you put it through like a random word generator? Do you vote on it? How does it all work? But that was part of what they were doing, is to make sure that, you know, you've got Norton antivirus, you've got McAfee antivirus, you've got the, you know, all these companies that are selling you software that will help your computer remain healthy. You might even call it a digital vaccine. They've hacked the digital vaccine, ladies and gentlemen. Amazing. That's crazy. You mean a vaccine for your computer that didn't actually work? Wow. Does your computer up and die from a digital myocarditis? You're going to put defibrillators all over Best Buy because these computers just keep up and dying. Project Grasshopper. There are 27 documents associated with Project Grasshopper, and these are all having to do with malware for Microsoft Windows. Awesome. Awesome. As I record this on a computer running Microsoft Windows, we have broken the space-time continuum where I'm reporting on the spying of Microsoft Windows from a computer running Microsoft Windows while the CIA listens to my conversation about the CIA hacking. Definitely Black Mirror shit going on here. How about Scribbles? Scribbles sounds like an adorable code name. What is Scribbles about? Oh, don't worry. It's just a tool intended to track documents leaked to whistleblowers and journalists. So what Project Scribbles did is that they embedded web beacon tags on documents and then used those documents, leaked those documents out to journalists to see where they would go. And they used this Scribbles program, this tool, to track the documents that were given to suspected whistleblowers or journalists that they thought might leak things. So this is an old spycraft tactic. They used to do it in different ways. They might have words that were written a certain way, and you'd give that version of the document to that person, and then it would be written a different way, or maybe it'd have a double space after the word "the" in the 17th line or something like that. You know what I mean? And that particular version would only be given to Susie in media because we think Susie might be leaking shit, you know? And then when you see that go out into the wild, when that document gets sent out as the one that is, you know, exposing this grand criminal enterprise that's running, you just look for those little key points. You go, if it's got that word in it, if it's got, you know, the certain word that we gave to Tom in Tom's version, then we know Tom's the leaker. If it's got two spaces after the word "the" in the 17th line, we know it's Susie. You know, so this is just a digital version of that, where they intentionally leak, they intentionally allow documents to get taken by these whistleblowers, and then with the understanding that the documents themselves probably are worthless, but they're definitely tagged, and they're tagged through this program known as Scribbles. So be very careful when you're leaking documents, because they're tagged, a lot of them. And if you're not an A+ grade A cybersecurity expert, you might not know what to look for. Now all of a sudden you're passing documents along and it's pointing right back to you. You're glowing like crazy. So be careful on things like that. Then they had a sort of two programs that they ran that were sort of, you know, it's like 1 and 1A. They were very similar. One of them was called After Midnight and the other one was called Assassin. Great. Both of them were Trojan horses. They run on Windows operating systems. And what they do is they just directly connect the person's computer to the CIA's command and control computer, which I am pretty sure you don't want your computer connected to that computer. But if you had After Midnight or Assassins on your as a program that was launched that wound up on your computer some way, then you just created a pipeline straight to the CIA's mainframe. And that, of course, is going to most definitely come back to haunt you. They had a program codename Athena. And what this was doing was this was creating backdoors to communicate with the CIA's listening posts that they have stationed all around the world. So some of this stuff, when you go through it, it feels a little redundant, you know? It's like you're, you know, it's, but because part of Project Athena was hijacking Windows remote access services. And so, you know, so it's focusing on Windows remote access services. And meanwhile, Grasshopper is also talking about malware for Microsoft Windows. So some of this stuff overlaps a little bit. I mean, they wanted to be thorough, I suppose, and make sure that they knew everything there is to know about Windows services. And frankly, I don't know why they didn't just ask Bill Gates. You know, I mean, he's team globalist. I'm not sure he would put up much of a fight if you're like, we want to embed your, I mean, it probably came with the territory. It's probably been like that forever. But one of the things that Athena did was it could, not just could it hijack Windows remote access services, but it could also delete data on somebody's computer. So if you do get the magic document that's tagged, the CIA can go in there and just delete it off of your computer. Or, you know, add child porn if they wanted to or whatever. Let's keep going with the code names, shall we? This is a fitting one. Keep in mind, 2013 to 2016. Codename Pandemic, infecting files on your computer. And what this would do was they would spread this virus through local area networks, through LANs. And it would infect files on your computer. Great. You know, thus the pandemic thing. Oh, this one didn't come out of a random name generator for sure. They decided that they were going to create a digital pandemic. I mean, how the CIA loves pandemics, don't you know? Codename Cherry Blossom. This had to do with the Cherry Tree custom router firmware that was called Flytrap. And this was used to monitor internet activity. It also, while it was monitoring all of your internet activity, which you should just assume is happening anyway, it was collecting email addresses, any email that's come to and from you and whoever you've communicated with. Sorry, but you've been put on this list now too. And VoIP, voice over internet protocol, numbers, anybody that you've communicated with via VoIP, which in 2013 to 2016 is basically like the precursor to Skype or Zoom. And my assumption would be that if we were running this, if they were looking at this and it wasn't limited to a time frame of 2013 to 2016, that Zoom and Skype and all these, StreamYard, whatever you use for internet video messaging conferences or anything that you use to record live streams or any of that stuff. My assumption, and it's only an assumption, but it's a logical guess, is that that would be compromised as well because they were monitoring this with Operation Cherry Blossom and they were monitoring VoIP, which was the dominant technology at the time, later to be replaced by the Skypes and Zooms of the world, which were, I think Skype was in existence at this time, but it wasn't quite as dominant. And it certainly didn't take on a new role after COVID, where a lot of these web conferencing services became mainstream at that point. Oh, God, here's what, I mean, you have to kind of laugh at the name of this code name Brutal Kangaroo. This is malware used to breach air-gapped computers. This is Brutal Kangaroo. You talk about, you know how kangaroos are look kind of cute, but they're super dangerous and they'll kick you in the face and try to drown your dog. I don't know if you ever saw that video. This is a Brutal Kangaroo, man, because this is malware used to breach air-gapped computers, and this was done through the use of infected USB devices. So anytime you were plugging in, by the way, if you buy USB, like blank USB devices, like on Amazon, like a thumb drive, right, that you're just going to put things on or maybe move it from one computer to the other, all of those are bugged. Just so you know, all of those were infected by the CIA, every one of them. Okay. So, I mean, maybe there's some sort of upgrade to it now where they have figured that out, but those were the best ways to spread viruses. It, like, by the way, if you're at a trade show and somebody's like, hey, you know, we got this swag stuff, you know, take it. It's our, you know, XYZ Enterprises is giving out. Oh, like, hey, you want a free thumb drive? Don't stick that in your computer under any circumstances. Do not do that. Those things are, you, it's like using a USB without a condom. Let's just put it that way. You get what you get. And in this case, you get brutal kangaroo, which was figuring out how to access computers that were no longer connected to the internet. I mean, you think you're safe. You make these assumptions. And then you read something like this and you go, God be damned. So listen, I think if nothing else, and we're going to keep going here. I've got more, but if nothing else, again, remember the relationship that you have with your technology and just make your default assumption has to be set that they see everything I'm doing. And with that in mind, then sort of take steps to mitigate that where you can and how you can. But you've got to get honest with the relationship that we have with our technology, because if you think somehow that this stuff is safe or that's secure, or, oh, I'm using this, I'm using that service and it's safe, I'm using Telegram and that's safe, you have to put your phone number in Telegram, right? So they've got your phone number. So now anything you say, they can tie right back to your phone number. It's not safe. I mean, it's convenient. And you might want to use it, and you might not be up to no good. And most of us aren't up to no good. You know, I mean, we're not talking about anything of importance. We're sending memes and, you know, and talking shit online. It doesn't matter. But the point is, just reevaluate the relationship that you have, because it's most definitely different than what you assume it is. Let's continue on here to Shattered Assurance is the new code name. And again, a server that automates thumb drive infections. Like, that's USB sticks, otherwise known as thumb drives. So I kind of got ahead of myself with brutal kangaroo. But, you know, what are you going to do? Shattered Assurance is a server that automates thumb drive infections. So they've automated the process of infecting your little USB stick. There's a billion of them out there. Of course, you probably do need to automate that process. If you're going to be effective in your spying, you would need to. Then there's codename Shadow. This is a tool used to coordinate with infected machines. So now that you've got all these machines under your control, you've got them in some sort of zombie parasite mode where they can be taken over. Then you use Shadow, which is a tool that will coordinate with all of the machines that you've infected. Codename Broken Promises. This is a tool for extracting data from air-gapped networks. This would fall in line. This is sort of brutal kangaroo uses the USB devices to connect and overcome the air gap situation. Broken Promises had a tool for extracting data from these networks. Codename Elsa tracked Windows devices through Wi-Fi networks. So wherever you were connecting, take your computer to Starbucks, have your phone connect to a shared Wi-Fi device in some public place. Maybe you're in a mall, you're at a train station, airport, wherever. All of this is being tracked by Elsa. They're tracking your Windows devices. They're building painting a picture of where you've been. Who you've been talking to. I mean, this is, again, this you have to assume this anyway, right? And if you're not thinking, if you know you're not up to any harm, you know you're not doing anything wrong, then you're not operating as a paranoid individual worrying about all this stuff. But just be aware that it's happening, whether you're doing anything wrong or not. Codename Outlaw Country. This was tracking Linux servers, and it was redirecting outbound traffic. So those of you that use Linux operating systems, many do so because they like the flexibility that it gives them. And it's not as off the shelf as Windows and iOS. But just so you know, I mean, again, if you're using Linux because you think that it is more secure and safe, just know that, you know, they're tracking your servers too. And Outlaw Country was one of the code names that they were using. Do you have an Android phone? Do you use an Android phone? And if you do, have you sent text messages? The answer is probably yes. Well, codename HiRISE would be used to intercept and redirect SMS text messages to Android phones. So all your text messages are being watched, more than likely being archived somewhere, probably at the CIA's version of the NSA that they talked about in the first part of this. Codename Imperial. This would target Mac operating systems with, and there were three different tools at their disposal that Codename Imperial used. And so those that are running Macs, just know that CIA was looking at you. Codename Dumbo. This would disable webcams. This would disable microphones and other surveillance tools that connected via Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. So if you've got Wi-Fi devices, if your computer is running on the internet that's connected to Wi-Fi, through Dumbo, they could turn your webcam on and off. They could turn your microphone on and off, and they could watch you. If you had Bluetooth devices connected to it, your phone, headphones, whatever, things like that, they had those hacked as well. So you can thank Operation Dumbo for that. Codename Couch Potato. Intercepting remote video streams and also allowing the CIA to access other people's surveillance systems. So if you had a camera system set up around your home, 8 cameras feeding into a main place where you stored all of this information, and let's just say you had a big house, like a compound, and you had a couple out in the front, a couple in the backyard, in the corners, one inside your house, one outside, whatever. Through Operation Couch Potato, the CIA was remotely accessing all of those camera video streams that were coming in. Anything that you were using to monitor the safety of your house, the CIA was using to monitor you. I'm sorry. I know this is depressing. You're just like, oh, my God. We're almost done with the code names. Code names galore with these people. Codename Express Lane. The CIA used this tool to collect biometric data. This one is really scary from all people. And they didn't. One of the reasons why the CIA didn't love when Joshua Schulte sent all of this information out, yeah, gave the general public the understanding that, you know, the CIA is spying on you in every single way that you can be spied on. We kind of knew that. The government agencies, they kind of knew that as well. Part of this that they didn't love getting exposed, this Project Express Lane, was that not only was the CIA using this tool to collect biometric data from all of us, but they were also using this tool to covertly steal the biometric data from the FBI, the Department of Homeland Security, the NSA. Oopsie. They got busted stealing from their own teams. You know, this is the reason why I say that the CIA can't just trust that they're going to put their information on the servers in Bluffdale, Utah, because the NSA can't be trusted. I mean, we know that. They're 7 times bigger than the CIA. They cannot be trusted. CIA knows that. CIA didn't just take the biometric data from all of us in any way that they could. They also stole it from the NSA because the CIA can't be trusted. So none of these people are trustworthy, of course. And that should go without saying. But just so you know, I mean, you know that they're spying on you. Just understand, they're spying on the FBI too. About time. Finally, the FBI gets a taste of their own medicine. All of these agencies need to go away. And lastly, on the codename list is codename Angel Fire. And this is malware framework used to infect Windows XP and Windows 7. Again, it's not to say that it's not running Windows, you know, spying on Windows 11 and Windows 10 right now, which are the predominant Windows operating systems that are happening now. My assumption is that they are. It's just that this information was capped at 2016, and then the person that leaked it wound up getting arrested in 2017, and of course the leak stopped at that point. So it gets exposed in this leak that the CIA has the technology to remote hack the systems of cars, and that's a huge problem. Now, we've done a lot of work here talking about the push for electric vehicles. We've talked about 15-minute cities and the World Economic Forum and how they would love to have control over the cars, geofence them so that they can't leave, they can't go certain places, you know, all of that. So we know that they like the idea of electric vehicles in part because so much of the car becomes technology, and it's technology that they can hack. I mean, it's kind of hard to hack a Flintstones car, you know what I mean? But it's easy to hack a car that's like a Tesla that's got all this computer equipment already in it, and everything is dependent on it. And I mean, I think it should obviously go without saying that all the Teslas are easily hackable, but just understand that if you think you're hiding out in your, you know, 2007 Mazda Miata, and it doesn't have all this equipment in there, I'm just telling you, they can hack that car too. It's in the system. It's in this data dump. That's what they do. That's how they do it. So, for all the people that said, "Oh, you guys are crazy to even make the." To even speculate that Michael Hastings' car was overtaken by some sort of remote access system. Why would we be? He's writing a story that paints the war in Afghanistan in a bad light, and then it does a hit piece on General Petraeus that comes out, paints him like a total asshole, which he is, tells his family, "I'm freaking out. I think I got to go off the radar. I'm freaking out. I got to get out of town. I think somebody's going to get me." And then 1 o'clock in the morning on San Vicente in LA, which is a street I've been down a million times, you're going to go 110 miles an hour and run into a tree. And none of it makes any sense unless he was hacked remotely and driven into that tree, which I would suspect is exactly what happened. So Snowden warned about this. Assange is in prison for, you know, leaks like this. This leak came from Joshua Schulte to WikiLeaks. This is what WikiLeaks does. And look, they've proven to us they can track you a variety of ways. It's now provable. I mean, we knew it. We assumed it. We knew it. But now you've got confirmation from this. This was the largest intelligence publication in history. And they estimate that this cost the CIA hundreds of millions of dollars. Do you know how long it takes to sell hundreds of millions of dollars of cocaine and make that money? I mean, it's a long process. I mean, this is not for nothing, but they're going to have to go invade another country and have them start growing some drugs for them if they want to make up the money that they lost just from this one operation. But it needs to be said. It needs to be out in the public. I'm sorry that this guy is going to prison for 40 years. He shouldn't be. They should be making statues of him that, you know, the leftists will want pulled down one day. But instead, you know, we're just facing another situation where the intelligence agencies are above the law. They do whatever they want, whenever they want to. There's zero accountability. If you get on the wrong side of them, they put child porn on your computer or blow you up or whatever. Put you in prison for 4 decades. I cannot imagine waking up every morning and enthusiastically marching off to work for the CIA. What a waste of a life that must be to serve the empire. I cannot even imagine that regret. Hey, if you like this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. You can follow me on Twitter at macroaggressions, the brand new website, macroaggressions.io. The link is down in the description. Thanks, everybody. I'll talk to you again soon.